Those who want to stay sane, remain upstairs. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14. We appreciate you praying for us while we were out of town this weekend. We did have a wonderful time with family, and then also with Matt as he became the pastor of Highland Hills Baptist Church. This was his first official Sunday. Pastor Shadina retired on the 31st of December, and Matt became the pastor on January 1st. So the 7th was his first full Sunday, and we got to spend the day with him and preach for him, and we had a great time up there. And so a little rough leaving yesterday morning, first half an hour coming down from Highland down toward Ann Arbor. There was about four cars back off the road that had hit the ice and the snow. And by the time we got about 45 minutes south, the weather had warmed up enough that it had turned to rain, and so it just rained the rest of the way coming. But we got home safely, though exhausted. But at least it was safe, so praise the Lord for that. Mark chapter 14, the outline is on the back of your prayer list tonight. And we're just covering a few verses in Mark chapter 14. This is a lengthy chapter. And actually, next Wednesday night, we've got a long chunk to chew off because it'll all be about the same thing. It'll be in the Garden of Gethsemane. But tonight, we're looking at what took place on the Mount of Olives. Jesus had been in Bethany where the woman had anointed his feet with the alabaster box. And then after that, he had sent his disciples out to find a place to eat the Passover supper. And then from Bethany, he goes through the Mount, over the Mount of Olives, down into Jerusalem. He is going there for the Passover, the day that he is going to be crucified for our sins. And so we're following him and his disciples on this journey from Bethany now to the Mount of Olives, and we'll pick up in verse 26, though our lesson really starts in verse 27. We covered verse 26 last time. But we'll start in verse 27 as they concluded the Lord's Supper. It says in verse 26, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this Wednesday night, these open doors, this prayer meeting time, for those that have gathered here together tonight. And God, we come before you hungry. Hungry to thirst after righteousness. Father, hungry for the Word of God that can sustain our spiritual body and give us what we need tonight. And we pray for nutrition. We pray, Father, as we look at the words of Scripture, that God, they would be the vitamins that would give our spiritual being strength and energy. That, Father, we might be able to honor and glorify you in all that we do. Father, our lives are not here just for our own enjoyment. Though we do get that, they're here, Father, to glorify you. We were created for your pleasure. And so, Father, I pray tonight you'd help us to find that way, that avenue in which we can please you most. Use your word to touch our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. They're leaving the Last Supper. 12 disciples minus one. Judas Iscariot left the table. Went out, he'd already covenanted with the Pharisees for 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And now as they head toward Jerusalem, Judas Iscariot is no longer with them. So it's Jesus and the 11 disciples. And as they come to the mount, which is the Mount of Olives on the east side of Jerusalem, coming from Bethany, as they come there, Jesus says to them in verse 27, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." I want you to notice, beginning in verse 27, we have in our outline, the Scripture's prediction. We could say the Savior's prediction. He's the one that says, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." But he says, "For it is written." So it's the Scripture's prediction that the disciples would forsake him. Is it good that they forsook him? No. But was it known to God that they would forsake him? Yes. You know what I like about this? Though they forsook him, he never forsook them. We're going to see down in verse number 28, he's going to say, "But after I'm risen, I'll go before you into Galilee." I like that. The Lord knew that they were going to desert him and leave him because the Bible had predicted it and the Lord knew that. And yet, though he knew that, he did not say, "And when you leave me, you'll never find me again." He said, "No, I'll go before you and I'll meet you in Galilee." Hebrews 13:5 says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." You and I might move away from God, but God never moves away from us. I've given you the illustration before, the old vehicles, you know, the front seat that had the long seat in it. It was all one. It wasn't bucket seats divided up by a stick shift and not all like it, but just the long couch seat in the front. And the husband was sitting behind the wheel, and the wife was over by the window on the other side, and she looked at her husband and said, "You know, do you remember when we used to sit close to each other in this front seat?" And he looked at her and he said, "I haven't moved." He's still right behind the steering wheel. She's the one that kind of got over toward the window there. You know what it is with the Lord? He hasn't moved. We kind of inch away from Him sometimes and move away from Him, but He never leaves us. He never moves away from us. He never forgets us. We forget Him throughout the day, don't we? Get caught up in the activities and what we're doing and where we're going and making our plans. We forget Him, but He never forgets us. Thank God for that. Just like His eye is on the sparrow, His eye is on you and I at all times. The Scripture's prediction, notice first of all the facts here in verse number 27. "And Jesus saith to them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night." What did He tell them? He said, "You'll be offended." What does it mean to be offended? Well, I don't think we struggle with that one because we live in a day where everybody gets offended. And everybody's worried about offending somebody else. You can't hardly say anything. It's escaping me now. Archie Bunker. What's the name of that show? All in the Family. All in the Family. Have you ever, and again I'm speaking to my generation here, have you ever gone back and watched now a clip or a rerun of All in the Family? I think this current generation would have a heart attack if they heard what's being talked about on that. It is hilarious. It is funny. I'm sorry, it is. I don't care. It is. But it is completely offensive to everybody. I mean, not to a certain group, to everybody it's offensive. And we've gotten to the day where you have to be careful of everything that you say. Now I'm not for being purposely offensive and things like that, but we live in a very easily offended culture. And the Bible said, Jesus said to His disciples, "Ye shall be offended because of me." What does it mean to be offended? Well, it means to be displeased. That's what offended means, to be displeased. Not happy with something. And yet we can't replace the word offended with displeased because it's a word that means much more than that. That's why that's the word that's used there. I love studying words in the Bible. And when we try to just put an alternate word in there, you can't do it because if there was an alternate word, they would have used the alternate word. And displeased is not the full. It's displeased with some hurt or displeased with some anger involved. When you're offended, it's because somebody said something that not only displeases you, but it hurts you. Hurts your feelings, wounds your emotions, whatever it might be, but that's what offended means. It means to be displeased with some hurt or some anger. You get mad when somebody says something offensive. Jesus said to the disciples, "You're going to be offended. You're going to be displeased. This is not going to go the way you want it to go, the way you think it should go." And can I tell you, in this life, you're going to be offended. Things are not always going to go the way you want them to go. People are not always going to go the direction you want them to go. It's just the way, that's reality, that's what happens. Jesus said, all you are going to be offended because of me this night. Notice not only the what, but the who. It says in verse number 27, all ye shall be offended. Who is he talking to? The 11. Judas is gone. But he's talking to the 11. And he says, all of you are going to be offended by me. You know why that's important? Because there's one guy there that thinks he's not one of the all. Because you know what he says? Though all men forsake thee, yet I will not. That's Simon Peter. These other 10, they're kind of wimpy, Lord. They might buckle under the pressure, but not me. We'll talk about Simon Peter's attitude a little later. But Jesus said, all ye shall be offended by me. Did he know what he was talking about? Or did he make a mistake? And all really meant all but one. No, you know in the Bible when it says all, you know what it means? It means all. The Lord is not long-suffering, as some men count slackness. But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know what the word all means? It means every single person. It doesn't mean all but this guy or that lady or this other. God wants everybody to be saved. And so here he says, all ye shall be offended. You can mark it down right then. If you didn't read the rest of the verses, you know what you'd find out in this story from that statement right there? That something's going to happen shortly after this, and all 11 of them, all 11, not 9 of them, not 10 of them, all 11 are going to be offended, even though one thinks he's not going to be. He's the one that's going to mess it up more than the others because he doesn't think it includes him. Oh, that doesn't mean me. You know how many times a preacher gets up and preaches on something from the Word of God and somebody's back there saying, well, he's not talking to me. That's not about me. Yes, it is. Or you wouldn't think it wasn't you. You're being Simon Peter. You probably need it more than anybody else does. He said, all of ye shall be offended because of me this night. So the what, they'll be offended. The who, all. Thirdly, the why, because of me. You know what my prayer is? Lord, if I'm going to be offended, I want it to be because of you. I don't want it to be because my feelings got hurt. Or somebody said something I didn't like. I want them to get offended because of you. Maybe when you're handing out that global warming gospel tract and the person you're giving it to does not appreciate it. Could you imagine that happening? If you've ever tried to do it, you can. You hand a gospel tract and somebody, sometimes they're just polite and they'll say no. Sometimes they'll take it and throw it on the ground right in front of you. Sometimes they'll rant and rave and rail when you try to give them a gospel tract or an invitation to church. I mean, you're just simply saying, hey, I'd like to give you something to read when you get on break or something and I'd like to invite you to come to church. And they will get upset and they will be offended and they will offend you because of Christ. I'd rather be offended because of Him than anything else. The Lord said, all of you shall be offended because of me. What offends you? You know what the Bible says? If we love His Word, nothing shall offend us. You can build your wall up, your offense wall a little bit, and things won't bother you too much if you're resting in the Lord and in His Word. This world, if you're a believer right now, this country could offend you 24 hours a day. All you got to do is pick up the newspaper and read the headlines, and you could be offended. You can read the stories that are written and the slant they're written in and you could be offended. It's anti-Christian. It's anti-God. It's anti-Bible. It's anti-church. But if it's because of Him, He prepared you. He warned you. He said, you'll be offended because of me. When? Notice verse 27. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. He's not warning them of something that's far off. Something that's going to come after His departure. He's saying, it's going to happen tonight. Better be ready. Better be ready at a moment's notice that you might be offended because of Him. The Scripture's prediction, the facts are, the what, the who, the why, the when. Then there's the fulfilling. Look at the second half of verse number 27. Not only did the Savior say, all ye shall be offended because of me, but the Scripture said, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Now turn your Bible and go backwards. Go to the left, if you would, back to the Old Testament. And the second to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah. The last book is Malachi. Right before that is Zechariah. The last chapter, no, it's not the last one, chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse number 7. Zechariah 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Notice this quote from Mark chapter 14 is from Zechariah chapter 13, where it says, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. That verse was written 487 B.C. Zechariah 13 was written 487 B.C. 87 more years before Malachi, the next book in your Bible, is written. Then 400 years of silence between Malachi and Matthew, where God didn't speak to anybody. That's where the skeptics and the scholars throw in all those apocryphal books. Because since God's not speaking, they can't handle the silence, so they put 1st and 2nd Maccabees in there, and Bel and the Dragon, and Judith, and Tobit, and all these other make-believe books, they put that in there. God went silent for 400 years before the Gospel of Matthew started. Jesus is born. Now 33 years later, so we're over 500 years since Zechariah's prophecy, and now the Lord says, it's going to be fulfilled. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. I wish I had time tonight. I'd like to preach a sermon on that word scattered, because that'd be a great Bible study. Look at the 120 times that scatter, scattered, scattering, all those words look up. The nation of Israel, or the enemies of God were scattered. Remember at the Tower of Babel, that's the first time the word shows up. The Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11, where they're building that tower that'll reach to God, and God comes down and scatters the people. Brother Roloff and the Honeybee Quartet used to sing from Psalm 93, let God arise, His enemies be scattered. I like that song. God scatters His enemies. One of these days He's going to gather them back together, Revelation 16:16. And He gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. God scatters and God gathers. God scattered the nation of Israel in the Old Testament through the Babylonian captivity, the Assyrian captivity, through their time in Rome and being forced from their homeland. God has scattered them, and one of these days, according to Ezekiel, He's going to gather them back together again. God scattered the church in Acts chapter 8. And they that arose because of the persecution that arose because of Stephen, when they were scattered abroad, going everywhere, preaching the Word. They were scattered abroad. But God is going to gather them back together one of these days at the sound of the trumpet. That's scattered. He said, the sheep shall be scattered. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. So Jesus said, all of you are going to forsake me. You're all going to be offended and run away. The Scripture said, you're all going to be offended and run away. Remember that. Keep that in your pocket here for just a moment from now when we get down to another part. But the facts and the fulfilling of the Scripture and the words of the Savior predicted what was going to happen. If the Bible says it, it's true. If the Bible says it, it's going to happen. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It will happen. It's a guarantee. That prophecy was 487 B.C. There was those 487 plus the 33 years of Jesus' life. Then on Calvary, when He was smitten, the sheep were scattered. It came to pass. The Scripture's prediction, verse number 27. Then look at verse 28. It's almost like it's not there. The Savior's promise, verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now I mentioned it already. He's giving them hope. He's giving them a promise. You're all going to be offended, and you're all going to scatter. But I will go before you into Galilee, and I will meet you there. You know what the problem is? They were so focused on verse 27 that verse 28 didn't even register. He gives them a wonderful promise in verse 28. After I am risen. What happened when Jesus died? They didn't have any clue He was going to rise again from the dead. And the Lord had to send an angel to tell them what had just happened. Though Jesus had foretold them, they didn't get it. In fact, not only did He just tell them here in verse 28, but as we've gone through the Gospel of Mark, and we'll not go to the references, in chapter 8 and verse 31 and verse 32, Jesus said to His disciples as He's going toward the end of His ministry, He said, the Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of sinners, and they shall crucify Him, and the third day He'll rise again. You know what the disciples did? They didn't hear it at all. So in chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, He repeated it a second time. The Son of Man is going to be delivered in the hands of sinners, and they shall take Him, and with cruel hands they'll crucify Him. But the third day He'll rise again. And they didn't get it. So He told them a third time in Mark chapter 9, verse 31 and 32. Said the same thing a third time. Here He says a fourth time. But after that I am risen. Wait, what? He just said, I'm going to be smitten and you're going to be scattered. But after that I'm risen. They weren't paying attention. They weren't retaining it. You know what our problem is, folks? We don't retain. We don't retain the Word of God. I don't know how many times somebody's come up to me, and I'm kind of hesitant to say this because I don't want you to feel guilty about doing it. Somebody come up and ask me a question. I'll say, I just preached on that. Just last Sunday evening I preached on that, and they were there. The person was there, and I preached on it, and they didn't hear it. I think that's called selective hearing. I'm not sure what we go by on that. I don't think that's what it is when we apply to church, but sometimes we just miss it. We don't hear it. The Lord told them, you're going to be offended. And you're going to be scattered. But after I am risen, I'll meet you in Galilee. And they didn't get it. You know what would have helped them tremendously at this point? As the Savior goes through His betrayal and His mock trial in front of the hands of hypocritical men, and He's slapped across the face, and a crown of thorns is put on His brow, and a spear put into His side, and nails through His hand and feet. You know what would have helped His disciples handle that better? If they'd have paid attention. If they'd have remembered, He said, you know what? He said this was going to happen. But He also said, after He was risen, He would go into Galilee, and we should meet Him there. Let's get to Galilee. Let's not wait about Calvary. He said this is going to happen, but He said after this He'll rise again. They stuck around there. They went to the cemetery. They went to the tomb. They went to the grave. You know what the angel said? Go to Galilee. He said He'd meet you in Galilee. And it took them a while to catch on to it. It wasn't until they were there in the upper room and Jesus walked in and met with them that it finally clicked. Then remembered they, the Bible says, then remembered they the saying that He said unto them, that after the third day He would rise again. You know what will get us through some difficult times? Remembering the promises of God. Remember when He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Remember those promises. The Savior's promise. Then thirdly, verse 29 and verse 30, Simon's presumption. Simon, again, that's Simon Peter in verse number 29. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. The Savior said all of you. The Scripture said all of you. But Peter said, not me. We'll talk about this more in just a moment. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Alright, you know it, and we're going to get into it next week as we look into Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and then His betrayal. We all know the story that Peter was sitting before the fire, warming his hands, while Jesus was before Pontius Pilate. And a young maid came up and said to Peter, he said, you're one of them. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this man. Second time, someone else came and said, No, I'm pretty sure I saw you in that garden. You're one of them. He said, I told you I don't know him. And a third time, someone came over and said, Your speech betrays you. You don't talk like we do. You've been sitting around this fire for 15, 20 minutes. I'm adding a little bit to it here. You've been sitting around the fire this long. We've been telling stories, and your language just doesn't sound the same as everybody else. You're a fisherman, yet I haven't heard you cuss one time. So the Bible says, he began to curse and swear and say, I know not the man. That's the same fellow that says right here, though I'll be offended, yet I'll not be offended. You know what the Bible says? To him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Be careful what you boast about and brag about in your natural abilities and your self-will. You better rely on God. When he says, all ye shall be, he says to Peter, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, you're going to die. You'll deny me three times and the rooster will crow. And before he can get out that second one, Peter, you're going to have denied me three times. And we read the story later that Peter, when that rooster crowed, went out and wept bitterly because he put them together and realized what he'd just done. Don't be presumptuous. Don't think you're an exception. You know, it's not... You say, I thought about this today. When was Peter the biggest man? Was he the biggest man when he's in the garden swinging the sword and cut off Malchus's ear, defending Jesus? I mean, standing up like a soldier and swinging that sword. Was he even that big of a man when he preached the day of Pentecost and 3,000 got converted? You know when he was the biggest? It's over there in Acts chapter 8, I think it is. Or Acts chapter 10, when he's down on his knees at the hour of prayer, the sixth hour, and God reveals to him this new vision that he's going to give of Jew and Gentile, the sheep coming down from heaven with all the animals. You remember all that? Man, that was life-changing and world-changing. That's when Peter was at his tallest. Not when he's standing erect with his chin up, but he was bowing, when he's bending the knee and bowing his head. That's when he's the biggest. That's when you're the biggest. Not when you're boasting and bragging about who you are, but when you're putting your reliance on God and asking for His help and strength. Peter got a little ahead of himself, and when he did, he boasted of things that he shouldn't have boasted of and didn't see what was coming. Verse 31, the last verse, Simon's persistence. He's already said, I'll not deny you. And the Lord said, Peter, you will. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. The Lord told him once up in verse number 27. The Scriptures told him that in verse 27. The Lord told him that again in verse 30. Peter was very hard-headed. Did you get that? Very self-confident. Very cocky. A little air of spiritual superiority there. Oh, those 10 guys might do this, Lord, but not me. Don't you know who you're talking to? I'm Simon Peter. And it says in verse 31, but he spake the more vehemently. His anger. What does the word vehement mean? I looked it up in the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. It says vehement means with great force and violence. He's mad. He's angry. Lord, do you think I would do such a thing? Do you think I would deny you? I would be offended by you? And the Lord would say, Peter, Zechariah 13:7 said, all of you shall be offended by me. Yes, I think you would do it too. And instead of showing humility, Instead of bowing the knee, he gets cocky, he gets arrogant, he gets proud, and he shows his anger. You know, Peter didn't deny the Lord because he didn't love him. That's not why he denied. It wasn't. You know what he says later? The Lord asked him, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And you know what Peter says? "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." He didn't deny him because he didn't love him. He denied him because he got angry. He denied him because he didn't understand what was going on. He didn't understand what the Lord was doing, and so he got angry at God for that. You know, folks do that a lot these days. When things don't work out the way we planned or designed, instead of asking God why, we get angry at God. And so that's what Peter did. He spoke vehemently his anger. Not only that, but his arrogance. "I will not deny thee, though all others will. I will not deny thee." Peter's a great man in the Bible. He's great when he speaks out and says the right thing. He's a complete flop when he speaks out and says the wrong thing. I like Peter. I can identify with Peter. And we all need to be careful. His arrogance. The Savior had said it. The Scripture has said it. The Lord had reemphasized it. All of you, all of you, all of you. And Peter says, "Not me. Doesn't apply to me." They might. You know, I wonder if the other ten were offended. When this cocky young guy named Peter stands there and says, "They might do that. They might deny you because, I mean, they're Peter, they're James, they're James and John and Bartholomew and Andrew. They might do it, but Lord, I'm Peter. I would never deny you." Pride is the downfall of many a Christian and believer. And we need to be careful with it. Peter was not known for his humility. And he showed his arrogance. Then notice lastly in verse 31, his accomplices. He said, "Lord, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." Likewise also said they all. The other ten chimed in also. Peter might have been the leading spokesman, but the other ten were just followers. It reminds me of that story we read at the beginning of this chapter about the woman with the alabaster box. Judas Iscariot said, "Lord, this could have been sold for 100 pence or 300 pence and given to the poor." And so said they all. All the other disciples said. They just kind of chimed in with the one that spoke and said it out loud. Here Peter says, "I'll not deny thee. I'll die with you." So said they all. Look at verse number 50. We'll conclude there. Verse number 50. Of this same chapter. A few hours later, after they all said, "We'll not be offended. We'll not forsake you. We'll die for you." Verse number 50. And they all forsook him and fled. Hey, I'm not trying to run down the disciples. I'm not trying to tell you that they were inferior to us. They were us. Can I tell you this? They weren't superior to us. They weren't inferior to us. They were us. They were 11 people of general society called to follow God and believed on Him and loved Him, but they were still men. They were still human beings. And they had their victories, and they had their failures. And if there's anything we can learn from this passage right here, it's read the Word of God, know the Word of God, understand the Word of God, accept the Word of God, even when it says something you don't like. When it goes against your attitude or your behavior, take it over that. When the Lord says, "Here's how it's going to be," don't say, "No, it isn't." I mean, isn't that what the skeptic does? There is no God. There is no heaven. There is no hell. It all came from a big bang that just miraculously, wonderfully happened way back somehow in time. When the Bible declares, "Here's how it is. Here's how it is. Here's how..." No, that's not how it was. Even the disciples fell into a trap like that. Don't fall into that trap. "Though all men forsake thee, I'll not. Peter said some great things. Who do men say that I am? The other disciples said, well, some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets risen from the dead. But whom say ye that I am? Yet the Lord asked his disciples, who do you say I am? Simon Peter jumped up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said some wonderful things, but he also said some terrible things. And one of those was because of pride. Though all men forsake thee, I'll not. Keep your pride in check. Keep your ego in check. Remember, we're all made of the same flesh. It was the Apostle Paul, none greater than him, that said, the things that I would do, I don't do. And the things that I wouldn't do, those I do. I find in a law written in my members that when I would do good, evil is present with me. We're all in the same boat. We're all fighting the same fights. We're all serving the same Savior. Let's exhort one another and encourage one another. The Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes.